turn to Matthew chapter 2. I'm so glad you taught on the shepherds. Great job, Esther. Be page 1, the book called Matthew. It helps me with like pictures and diagrams and getting reference points and seeing things. Sometimes when I watch Star Wars or Lord of the Rings and stuff, I'm not a real bookworm. And I'm not like a person that really got into Zelda or one of these games. But it helps if I have an idea of a timeline. And the timeline is we have the Garden of Eden in my right hand. And in the left hand, we have the Garden of Eden. The first Adam's here. The second Adam's going to restore us back to the Garden of Eden. That's where to go. And death and pain and wickedness and rotten flesh and unjust things happening, they're all a reminder of where we're actually going. So dogs and cats and horses don't sit around contemplating life going, there's got to be more to this. We don't see birds and beavers and squirrels looking for justification or revenge or justice. No. It's just, they don't even think about it. But we're the only thing that's created in our Father's image. So when we see premature death, when we see eagles kill their siblings, we're appalled at that, aren't we? Yeah. All that is our Father's designs inside of us. That this life is just a glimpse. All of those things that we see is to give us going to go, there's something wrong with it, isn't it? And you don't have to explain it to a baby when you see a baby die. When a baby sees an eagle thrown out of the nest and the parents watch, one of the eagle babies throw the other eagle baby out, and the eagles are like, all right, what does that do for the kids? Does anybody have to tell you that's wrong?
No,
you know it's wrong.
You know
that. It's Yahweh. He's innately, he's inside us. He's designed certain things. That we're going somewhere. So we have Garden of Eden right here, Adam and Eve, about 1,000 years later, actually about 140 years after Adam and Eve was Noah. So Noah's father probably knew Adam. How neat is that? Noah's father probably knew Seth. In that need, they would have been on the ark during the flood. Yeah. And Noah's sitting around, and you think they had some time to talk?
Mm-hmm.
How many days were they in the ark? Or the box? Mm-hmm. 180 days, I think. Bored. Hey, Dad! And you can imagine, here's their dad, Noah, going, you know, I remember my dad said that when Adam said when he was in the garden, that it looked like this, and it looked like that. How neat would that be? What did the garden look like? Oh, yeah, well, my dad sat down. He spent a whole weekend fishing with Adam once. Oh, yeah, what did he say about that? You're sitting there, and then your great-grandpa Seth, he told us this and this and that. Okay, oh, wow. And then Abraham came after Noah, and Abraham and his father possibly could have known Noah. So think about that. Here's Abraham's father, Terah, might have known Noah, whose father might have knew Abraham. It just makes everything really shrink up. You're going to go, then we have Adam and Eve, then you had Noah, then you had Abraham. After Abraham came Isaac and Jacob, the father of the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. After Jacob came 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph. Then we had the captivity, then you have Moses, okay? So just kind of give you a timeline of where we are. After Moses came the exile, and then you would have the judges and Ruth, and then you would have the captivities of Babylon with like Daniel stuff, and then we go to the Greek New Testament. But here we are in Matthew chapter 2. So the birth of Jesus Christ, to the best of our knowledge, is right around September 11th. And the nativities today will show the wise men and the shepherds in the same scene because it looks like it's right here. But the birth of Jesus Christ was in September or August. And then the wise men that come and visit was when he was about 2 years old. And since it's not that far along in the book of Matthew, people think it's about the same time. It's not. But what we're going to be discussing today is the wise men. Who were the wise men? So
they're from Persia. I know that.
Magi.
Yes.
There were three gifts, and we don't know the number of the wise men.
Very good. What's traditions teach us?
That there are three wise men.
We three kings of Orient are. Travel with gifts from something afar. Who started that?
Magi.
I think Satan did. I'll be honest with you. You see some of the songs and things just changes everything. Now, how many nativities do you see now with three guys? One song possibly changed everything. Does it say there's three guys? No. And actually, these guys that are going to be taking this caravan is for a king. This is going to be like Secret Service showing up. There's going to be like limousines. And the guys that would have been sent with this, the Magi, would have been like having Rick Perry, Sam Brownback, Donald Trump, and all their bodyguards shows up on your front porch. Who's here? Everybody in the neighborhood knows somebody's here to see it, Lisette. Really? And you look outside, there's this caravan, Secret Service, helicopters, and everybody's going, what's going on here? Especially in the Middle East, they call it the Near East now. This is a lot of very wicked things happen there. You can't be traveling with a treasures for a king without getting robbed. So these guys would have showed up. So who are these guys? Chapter 2, verse 1. And when it says Jesus, it's actually Yehoshua would be the Hebrew. Now when Yehoshua was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, lo, wise men from the eastern parts came unto Jerusalem, saying, where is he that hath been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to bow down to him. But when King Herod heard, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and the assemblies of the high priests and the scribes of the people, all the high priests and the scribes of the people, he was inquiring of them, where is the Mashiach to be born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem, Judea, for so it is written through the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means least art thou among the governors of Judah, for out of thee shall one come forth to the govern, who shall shepherd my people Israel. Were these high priests who read these scriptures right? Was Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So did they know where the king was going to be born once they went to the scriptures? Yeah. Were the Jews expecting a king? They should have been. Turn to Genesis 1.
You're coming back to
it? We might. You might keep your finger. That's just page 1 in the Greek. Who is this king? Who are the Magi? They're called the Magi or Magi. The wise men of the east. Who are they? They saw some sort of star. How come they knew about this? And the people in Jerusalem didn't know about it. That's a good question. What's going on here? How come the wise men and the religious Jews didn't know about this thing that's going on? But these guys from the east, who are they? Who are they? Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Page 34. Melania, will you please read verse 14?
And Elohim said, let there be luminaries in the expanse of heaven to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Yea, let them be for luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth.
Okay, see the seasons right there where it says a footnote C? Okay, what's the footnote say down at the bottom?
Most likely sacred
seasons. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 440 years of captivity, then Moses. Who scribed the first book in the Hebrew text? Moses. We got a real problem, don't we? Because how did any of these people know what's right and what's wrong before Moses?
It was written in the heavens,
in the stars.
Genesis 1:14 says the stars and the luminaries, so what we would call stars would have been planets and these other things, were put up there for what? Time. It's the calendar. You have a minute hand, a second hand. I heard one guy who was explaining that I'm not going to get this right, but the sun is like the minute hand. Here's high noon, sunset, sunrise. That's 24 hours. The moon is every 30 days. Here's another time reference. Then you have certain planets that would actually orbit every 3 years, 7 years, 15 years, 30 years. I think Jupiter was like every 70 years. And these people would have studied the stars and they would have been saying, this is the calendar. Why is that important? The Hebrew word for seasons, you're not going to see this stuff in other translations. Sacred seasons. You know what this is? It's a calendar that my dad makes every year. You know how nice it is to have a Christian calendar? I therefore in thee have put my trust, O Yahweh. I have said, my Elohim thou art. Psalms 31:14. What's so neat about a calendar? La 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 la. I'm just going to randomly pick something in. Look at that! I'm glad I got the calendar. It's Isaiah's birthday. Okay. Oh, Isaiah's birthday. What's coming up after that? Oh, after Isaiah's birthday, oh, 1 week later is Izzy and Elijah, or Izzy and Shauna's anniversary. Aren't you glad you looked at the calendar? Didn't want to miss that one.
No, oh, you
don't. Whoops. Actually, I looked past the resurrection day over here on April 5th. Okay, then, okay, here's, oh, Elijah's birthday. I'm sure glad I looked at the calendar. The stars in the sky, Adam would have been, with the exception of Jesus Christ, the perfect, the smartest man who's ever lived. He would have been Einstein. He would have been Newton. He would have been all the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. He was created in the image of who?
Allah.
Yahweh was not ignorant. Right? Mm-hmm. He would have been downloaded with everything, and then after his children, it would have been his job to teach his children. That's what this means. That's what this means. He had 1,000 years approximately to teach people about, here's what this means, here's what this means, here's what this means. That does not mean that, well, who do you think you are? My name's Adam. Nice to meet you. I was first, number one. Well, how can you prove it? No belly button. Oh! And he would have taught us about the calendars. So here's the stars and stuff. Now, what we got to know is that here's Adam lived 900 years, 1,000 years. He's teaching people about death and pain. You can imagine children going, "Dad, I just saw a baby get eaten by its own parent." You ever seen on TV where a grizzly bear eats its own cub?
No.
Ah, I've seen it. It's creepy. It wasn't the sow, it was the boar. Ate the baby, so the woman would go back into heat. So it could, they were like, "God, that's messed up." Can you imagine a baby crying? And here's Adam, the first Adam. There's two Adams, the first Adam and the last Adam. Puts his arm around them, going to go, "That stinks." That, yeah, man, what's the point of life? And he would say, "The point of life is this." Genesis 3:15. And Adam would have said the same thing. He said, "The first time I saw an animal die was after your grandma and I sinned. We sinned. We try to cover our sin up. That's the first thing humans do whenever we sin. We hide. Nobody can see me in here. As long as I'm in my closet, all the lights are off. Nobody can see me, right?" 3:15. "And enmity will I put between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, but thou shalt crush his heel." It's the first prophecy in the Bible. It's saying the second Adam's going to come. So here's all these calendars that are up there. There's even today we'll learn things. What was the first written word? Or what was the first word of Yahweh? It was not the text. It was in the skies. If you try to learn anything about the stars in the skies, you know what you're going to hear? Blasphemy. It's just garbage. And the adversary always attacks Yahweh's word. If you try to talk to anybody about stars and moons and suns, and they'll go right into this pagan religions, aliens and foreign species and billions of years, instead of acknowledging Yahweh's clockwork. And that's all it is. It's just a really expensive clock. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. Our dad's got deep pockets. Genesis 3:15, we find out that the seed of the woman is coming to fix everything. And it said in Genesis 3, right around Genesis 3, he goes right to Adam. He goes, "Because you did this, Adam. You. Your wife was deceived. You did this. The dirt in the ground is cursed because of you." You can imagine the heartbreak of all the stuff that happened. Here's Adam and Eve. And then the first shedding of blood. The first Passover lamb or goat that would have died for them. They would have saw an animal die, give up its... They didn't donate their skin. First shedding of blood, here this is. And they're going, "Golly." So what do they know? We got a clock here. The seed of the woman's coming. He's going to fix this. Turn to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. So remember, Adam lived 900 years. Adam could have known Noah's father. Noah could have possibly known Terah, Abraham's father. We're looking at these things. And here's Abraham. Did Abraham have a Bible to look at? Did he have a Torah? Nope. What did he have to look at?
Sky.
Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And this is a lot of these things are pointed out by E.W. Bollinger, Joseph Rotherham, obviously my dad, and Telios Ministries, and then Victor Paul Werwolf. But this was E.W. Bollinger right here. No, I think this was Joseph Rotherham pointed this one out. Here's Yahweh talks to Abraham. He's talking to him. Come with me. Come with me, Abraham. Come with me. What would Abraham know? The seed of the woman's coming. And remember, Adam and Eve, they probably thought, I read a lot of people believe that they believe Eve probably thought Cain was the seed of the woman that's going to fix everything. Did they know it's going to take 6,000 years? Not necessarily. So you got two kids. There's a seed of the woman. It's the first seed of the woman, right? Mm-hmm. Then he murders the other one. Ah! Okay, but they would have taught each other, you know, somebody is coming. The seed of the woman is coming. Abraham would have learned how to study and look at the stars. What do these things mean? What does it make? Was a righteous line preserved through Noah? Absolutely. What does this mean? Noah's not aliens. That's the second clock. That's the minute clock. That's this. That's this. That's this. That's this. And specifically for the sacred seasons. Does Yahweh take his sacred seasons very serious? Like Passover? Yeah, these things he took very serious. And so they would have known this. That's what these things mean. Chapter 12, verse 3. Mom, would you read that, please?
That I may bless them who bless thee. But him who maketh light of thee will I curse. So shall be blessed in thee all the families of the ground.
Of the ground right there. That's the ground, the word there, is the reversal of Adam's curse. Because it said the curse of Adam was the ground is cursed because of you, Adam. Now Abraham finds out the seed of the woman is going to come through who? Him. How neat's that? Wow, that's pretty cool. The seed of the woman is going to come through me. That's going to crush. Can you imagine Abraham? Do you think it broke Abraham's heart whenever he saw a child die prematurely? When he saw somebody get raped or murdered and these horrible things, this disgusting stuff? And then he would have thought to himself, the seed of the woman's coming. We're going back to the Garden of Eden. And then here Yahweh goes, the ground will be cursed because of you, Abraham. Abraham would have known exactly what that means. The seed of the woman that's going to fix this is coming through me. Wait a minute! I'm 75 years old. I got no eggs. My wife's got no eggs or whatever. Yeah, there's nothing there, right? And then we turn to Genesis 15:5. So it was neat. We learned it in a fearfully and wonderfully made. But you know that a girl, when she is born, already has all her eggs for her entire lifetime? Interesting. Is that 250,000 eggs or something? 400,000 eggs. Yahweh designed, they already have all their eggs. And you're like, how does that work? And then you can imagine, here's Abraham and Sarah. Sarah goes, I don't think I got any eggs left. I'm 90 years old. Okay. What's that? Take it up with the designer. Here's the designer goes, yeah, trust me, I got one more egg somewhere. It was a miracle birth. Genesis 15, verse 5.
Speaking of which.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And he brought him forth abroad and said, what?
Abroad.
Abroad, for and said steadfastly, I pray thee towards the heavens and number the stars. If thou be able to number them.
So what is Yahweh telling Abraham right here? Look at my word, Abraham. Look at my word. We don't have to necessarily rely on the stars anymore, but remember we started off with the Magi, who studied the stars, that knew something that even Israel was heritage Jew? Yes. The scribes and Pharisees, Jews? Yes. How come they didn't know something but these guys from the east did know? Here's the stars. It's almost two different words. Like today what we have is we have the written word, which is number one. What's second with the body of Christ would be the Ruah. If somebody comes in and they receive a word of revelation from Yahweh, says, I saw you in a vision last night. Yahweh says, you're supposed to buy the house. How'd you know? I was even thinking that. If it confirms everything, so there's two confirmations. But back then they had the stars, then they had the Word. Today we have the Ruah, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. But back then, stars, written Word. But before the written Word with Abraham, it was just the stars. He looks up and he goes, what would Abraham have known in the stars? How important is the seed of the woman coming? Returning, out of all the things that happened, do you think it's pretty important for people being reminded this life is this short? Don't just eat, drink, and be merry. That one day you're going to be held accountable for everything you do? Is that important? The boss is going to show up? What do you mean? The boss is watching right now. He is? Oh, boy. The boss is watching. How important is that? And so here's Abraham would have looked at the stars. That's right. The seed of the woman's coming back. I forgot about that. Look at that. Here's this calendar. And then here's Abraham goes and looks back at the calendar, which was Yahweh's word. Look at that. I forgot. My 20-year anniversary's coming up. Or look at this. Holy smokes, it's my parents' 50th anniversary. I didn't know. I completely forgot about it. Oh my goodness, look at this. And look at these pictures on this calendar. That's not a coincidence. You made a calendar for my mom today.
Yeah,
right. Because today's teaching was about calendars. That's another confirmation of Yahweh. But then here's pictures. See the picture on the calendar? Do you know there's pictures in the sky? Stars?
Yeah.
Do you know there's a picture called Virgo for a virgin? Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Did you know there's a lion called Leo? You knew that? Do you know there's a serpent up there? Mm-hmm. Do you know there's a dragon, Draco? Mm-hmm. Do you know that? There's pictures up there. And when I try to look at these things, I'm not seeing it. But somehow something got preserved. What are the odds of some of this stuff? Today, we don't necessarily need the stars, but back then, did the Magi have the Holy Spirit like we do today?
No.
But now, the free gift has been poured out upon us. Not to say we're supposed to not use the stars. We should. But now we have the Holy Spirit. But here's Abraham. Look back at the calendar. Look at this picture. Could you imagine? Him looking up and saying, oh, look at that. Look, there's a serpent getting his head smashed. Do you know there's a time when the celestial bodies where the serpent's getting his head smashed? Did you know that? I used to think that, I'm going to get too far ahead of myself. I don't want to give any spoilers. It's not easy when I get excited. Okay, but look at my word, Abraham. Look at my word. Genesis 37, verse 9. It's page 69. Here's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has 12 children. One of his names is Joseph. What would have Joseph was given a coat of many colors. It was called a kataneth. And if you look up the Hebrew word, it would have been a royal garb, like he was the priest of Joseph of his father. No wonder his brothers might have been envious. He would have probably looked like, it wouldn't have just like a nice jacket, it would have looked like he's the priest. Who told Jacob or Israel to have a son wear that jacket? Yahweh did. That's why Yahweh preserved it. This is very serious. So here's Jacob, or here's Joseph. He has a priestly garb on here. And do you think he would have studied the word? Do we speak in tongues? Mm-hmm. You better speak in tongues. He said, I want all of you to speak in tongues. You better. That's how. Well, what if Joseph would have done before he had a ruach? You better study the word. There's no Bible. What do you mean? If my son doesn't read two chapters, he doesn't get to play the video games. This is the most important thing there is in life. Video game. And so what would Joseph had it done? Get on your back, stay up late. What's that, man?
No
video games for you, Joseph. Okay, time out. I'm going to play some Angry Birds. Okay, this over here is this, and this is this. Okay, wrong. Okay, what about you, Judah? Oh, Dad, okay, I got it. And here they would have been. They would have been Bible study at night, lying on your back. What does this mean? Oh, I don't know what it means. You're grounded. What do you mean I'm grounded? You don't go to church, you're grounded. This is church. This is studying the most important thing there is. And back then it would have been the stars. And here's Joseph, verse 9, chapter, I think it said 15, or I'm sorry, 37, verse 9. Joseph goes to his brethren. Lo, I have dreamed a dream. Yet again, lo, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing themselves down to me. What were bowing down?
Sun and the moon.
And the stars. This is the word. What was Joseph looking at? The word. It was a dream about Yahweh's word. scriptures. When Joseph looked at the scriptures, if you will, what happened to his brothers? They threw him into a pit. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. When Jesus Christ went to his brothers with the scriptures, and they said, why are you transgressing the traditions of our traditions? Here's your disciples eating with unwashed hands. He goes, you are transgressing my father's word. What happened to his brethren?
They sold him too.
But here's Joseph. What did he do? He went to the word. They rejected him, but he was looking right back at the word. I turn to 49, Genesis 49. So here's Joseph looking at these things, and it says that there's called the zodiac. I'm kind of getting out of my expertise, but these are good references. There's supposed to be 12 signs in our skies. 12 of them. Joseph saw how many? 11 bowing down to him. What the heck's going on here? Was it important that Joseph got sold into slavery?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's the one that saved everybody's life. Right? Now, was Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman's going to come from somewhere, right? Joseph's got 12 kids. Here's Joseph. Who's it going to come from? I would have thought it would have been Joseph. He saved everybody's life. He was the priest, right? Genesis 49, verse 9 and 10. If somebody would read that for me.
A lion's whelp is Judah. From the prey, my son, hast thou come up. He hath stooped, hath crouched as a lion or as a lioness. Who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the commander's staff from between his feet until he come in as a Shiloh, and his be the obedience of the peoples.
That's good right there. You say, what happened so far? Here's this trail. He just gives us hints. You guys ever watch movies and all of a sudden you get a hint? Oh, I was wondering what's going to happen to that guy. Oh, they pop back on the scene. Here this is. Israel's getting ready to go to sleep and Yahweh has him give a prophecy. And what does he say? It's the first prophecy. He calls Judah. And what does Yahweh call Judah? Something that roars.
Lion.
A lion. This is the first reference of Yahweh telling his children, watch the lion. Watch the lion. There's something called Leo up here. It's the first reference. Watch it. Why? I don't know. Adam was born. Adam and Eve was born on Tishri 1. To the best of our knowledge. That's when Adam and Eve were created. And then there's something they call the Festival of Trumpets, I think. And at a certain time, Yahweh commanded his people, on this day, everybody gets up and they shout. It's a day of shouting. Just shout. They had no idea why they did it. For 4,000 years, or however many years it might have been, 2,000 years, every day, the people who loved Yahweh, when it got up on this day, what are we supposed to do today?
Shout.
Why? Just do it. I don't feel like speaking in tongues. Why should I? He says, I want everybody to speak in tongues. On this day, they said, everybody shout. Here's 2,000 years of them shouting. You know what that day was? Tishrei 1. You know when Jesus Christ was born? Da-da-da! Everybody, he was announcing the birth on Tishrei 1. Boom! Then, no wonder he did it. So anyways, at this time, now we look backwards going, wow, the day of shouting. Here's September 11th, like 2 BC or something. But back now, Yahweh goes, look at Leo, look at Leo, look at Leo. So all of his children that were studying his word, he would have said, look at this scripture. Focus on the scripture. Why? The scepter shall not depart from where? The lion. Now the lion is a reference point. Turn to Psalms 19. Psalms, Proverbs.
Like 36. 37.
So you can imagine that if our family or our churches got relocated, we would make sure we took the word, right? Well, I guarantee you back then that they would have all kinds of reference points. This is what this means. This is what this means. Aaron, take this down and take these scrolls and teach them to your kids. Put them in your mouth and teach them about, don't forget to look at Leo! Something's gonna happen. Well, why? What's gonna happen to Leo? Well, remember in Genesis it said, the seed of the woman's coming. And then the prophecy through Israel, or Jacob, says, the seed of the woman's going to come through Judah and watch Leo. Okay, so what's going to happen? So they're studying the scriptures. And Psalms 19:1, would somebody please read that?
I will.
heavens are trying to the glory of God, and the work of his hands, the expanse he's declaring. Day after day, those pour forth speech, and night and night, those beat out knowledge.
Amen. So what's this at the very beginning? What proclaims?
Heavens.
His word proclaims. The heavens is his word. You want to find out who Yahweh is? Read the book. He proclaimed Yahweh, Yahweh, rich in mercy. This is who I am. You want to see who I am? You want to know what kind of father I am? Read what I did to Egypt. Look what I did for my kids. You want to know what I'll do for you? Look what I do. I asked my son to do, and he's coming back. He's coming back for you and for all the rest of you guys. So teach. You want to know who I am? Look at this. But back then he said, here's the word. Here's this. They're studying the word. And then go back to Matthew 2. Have we gone to Daniel yet?
No.
Okay. Okay, Matthew 2. Can you see the chapter 2? If you look to the very top of the right column, it says, and from David unto the removal of...
to Babylon.
Babylon. Okay, so Babylon. So what's David unto the removal of Babylon. What was the removal of Babylon? Turn to Daniel chapter 5. That's page 850. I almost missed the most important scripture. So we know that Israel was wicked, and Yahweh would send prophets, say, turn, repent, stop it. And they wouldn't do it, and so they got carried away. And this time, Daniel was carried away. Was Daniel a Jew? You heard of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Azariah. Mishael. So here's Daniel was carried away into where? Babylon. Would somebody please read Elijah or Isaiah, would you read 5:11? And so actually before that you see in verse 10, this is the queen, a finger writes on the wall about one of the kings is throwing a party. And writes something on the wall, and it scares him so bad his knees start knocking together. And Yahweh wrote that. It's just like Scooby-Doo. You ever see their knees knock together on Scooby-Doo? So here's a king. He's really scared. You think Yahweh knows how to get her attention? Can you imagine if a T-Rex just popped up and he'd roar? Ah! Yes, sir! Anyways, here it is. And then the queen goes, the queen's speaking, verse 11. Somebody please read verse 11.
I'll read it.
Thanks.
There is a man in thy kingdom... in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and intelligence and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him, and the king Nebuchadnezzar thy father appointed him chief of the sacred scribes, the magicians, and the Chaldeans, and the astrologers, thy father, O king.
Who was this guy? His name was Daniel. About 450 to 500 BC, before Jesus Christ was born, Israel was carried away to Babylon. Daniel was one of them. Was Daniel a good guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole book about the guy. He's incredible. Daniel in the lion's den. Then he has some buddies that are called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into a fire. They survived. What was Daniel in charge of? Teaching people what the stars meant. Was Daniel righteous?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you read over in verse chapter 6, verse 3, then this Daniel signalized himself above the ministers and the satraps because a distinguished spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him up over all the kingdom. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If my father, Chuck Cunningham, was put in charge of all the United States, you know how many Rotherham Bibles there'd be?
Millions.
Yeah. You know how many online Bibles there would be? You know how many tests there would be? He's in charge? Because what does my father revere more than anything? Yahweh through Jesus Christ, Yahushua Mashiach. And he goes, you will learn this. It's not an option. Now, if Daniel was put in charge of Babylon, what do you think he taught these guys?
The word.
The word. Where was the word? If they didn't have this, here's what this means. No, it doesn't mean that. Get that garbage out of here. Daniel would have said, get that guy out of here. You're done. He had a lot of authority. This does not mean this. This does not mean this. This does not mean this. And what's neat, but he would have said, here's this. A seed of the woman's coming. There's something up here called Virgo, the virgin. There's a lion over here. And then these other astrologers and magicians, they would have said this and that. Daniel would have said, get out. You either turn or you're done. And they would have, he would have inculcated them, this is what this means. Everything we know about our stars and stuff has been polluted. Darwinism, anti-theism, we've been polluted. Even false religions, if we go meet somebody like on Samoa Islands and they have a different religion, we're not infecting them with our religion. We're turning them back. Yahweh started all this. We're trying to get everybody to go back, and actually we're trying to turn back too. So here's Daniel going, here's what this means, here's what this means. The seed of the woman's coming. Okay. What else? And he's going to say, guess what? What? Well, he would have said, watch Judah. Watch, oh, who's Judah? The lion. Yahweh calls Leo Judah. Something's going to happen with this constellation. How many years is this before Jesus Christ? 400, 500 years before Jesus Christ. You know what's so neat about this? Right after Jesus Christ, and his stepfather, Joseph, and his mom, Miriam is actually her name. Right after Yehoshua was born, about 2 years later, the Magi show up. They give him what? The dowry of a king. Could have been millions of dollars as far as we know. What happened right after that? They had to flee and relocate. Takes a lot of money. Was their journey financed?
Yeah.
Yeah. By who? By Yahweh. Father.
Yeah.
How? 500 years before that, he had Daniel teach the Magi. He financed his son's relocation to Africa.
That's where the Magi.
500 years before Yahweh provided the money. How neat is that? Sometimes he's going to tell you to go someplace. He provides your money 400 years ago, Isaiah Strong. He did? Yeah. He did the same thing for his son. Here's the money. Now check this out, which is neat. So I'm going to use Google. Google's not always right. But one good thing about Google is they don't drink the religious Kool-Aid. Who tried to kill Jesus Christ the first time? Let me give you a hint. He wasn't a Baptist. He wasn't a Presbyterian. He wasn't a Catholic. His name was Herod. He was a
Hebrew.
Jew.
A Jew. Yeah.
Oh! Then who ended up killing Jesus Christ? It was a Jew. Who killed Paul or tried to kill Paul? It was the Jews. These are the religious people who said they followed Yahweh. And who's trying to stop the seed of the woman from coming? It would have been the adversary. But as I was studying about the stars and stuff, I said, no wonder the stars and astronomy is so polluted with all this garbage about going to horoscopes and things. It's because there's truth in it, guys. That's why it's so serious. Why is Satan in our seminaries? Because he's trying to stop people from getting to Yahweh's word. Check this out. What's the king planet? I don't think I'm a Bluetooth. So here I was reading a book from 1982 or 1979. And it says, what is the name of the king planet? I can't hear it. It's Jupiter. Jupiter's the king planet. So if you start studying about the history, about the, would have been astronomy and stuff like this, they would have said, it's just like, why would people believe this is Virgo, the virgin? Yahweh's word has been preserved. So is the lion. But there's a planet called Jupiter. And it's the king planet, and it's one of the biggest, and it's like one of the slowest hands on the calendar. I think it does its orbit like every 60 years. It represents the king. Then there was the bright morning star, which is Venus. We started studying some of this other stuff. It says that the pagan religion says that Mars was a god of war, and Victor Paul Werwolf says no, Mars was the archangel Michael. So here is a book this guy wrote in 1980s. Let me see here. Here's going to talk about, here is
Kenyan.
A lion. No. This is Victor Paul Werewolf. But see, here's a lion up there. When did he write this? he was studying all this stuff, and man, golly. And he's studying all these charts. And back in 1981, after studying all this stuff, he goes, Jesus Christ was born on September 11th, Tishrei 1. How many terrorist attacks have we had since then? Now we go back and say it was September 11th. We've had three of them. What are the odds? And here this guy, he knew this back in 1981. And it's like, let me put in there, the things that are really, 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 really important, Yahweh is absolutely clear. Okay, so the birth of Jesus Christ obviously is not that important, the time of the date, because Yahweh would have been more clear with it. But we can find it if we search the scriptures. Chapter 5 of this book, I'm just going to read it. It's a short one. And there's actually programs they didn't have back in the 80s. There's programs where you can go back in time, and it will show you. I didn't know that the galaxies, if you look up, I thought everything was spinning like one big ceiling. That's not the case. This thing's spinning this way. This is spinning this way. That's going this way. This is going. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that? No. It's kind of like looking at intersections. There's things going everywhere. I didn't know it. And so, I got to see a thing with recently where a guy had a whole Bible program, not Bible, but it's for astronomy. And you can go back in time and it'll show you where all the planets and everything was. And so this guy didn't have it back then, but here's Jupiter and the Magi. So Jupiter is the king planet. The first recorded appearance of his star in Matthew 2:2 was in the rising. This would be in accordance with Jupiter's initial appearance in the eastern morning sky in August 3 BC. It is this first appearance of Jupiter that the Magi refer to in Matthew 2:2. We have seen a star in the east. Ancient astronomers in the course of this regular observations also note the date of a star or planet first appeared above the eastern horizon at dawn. So as soon as something popped up, they would have made a date of it. Something just popped up. What is it? Here is Jupiter. It's the king planet. Eastern horizon at dawn. It's called the helical rising. Now we'll read Matthew 2:2. Saying, quote, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, which would be in the rising, and are coming to worship him. Watching Jupiter closely after its helical rising in August 3 BC, the observant Magi began to realize the significance of what they were seeing. A king had been born. Jupiter-Regulus conjunction. Regulus. There's a lion in the sky. And there's a glob of stars and I think a planet. It's the heart of the lion. You know what it's called? Regulus. It's really cool. The heart of the lion is Regulus. And as these magi are looking, the king planet and the heart of the lion are coming together. Everything's getting lined up. What's going on here? These guys would have been trained 500 years earlier by Daniel.
The birth of the Christ.
Let me see here. Watching closely, a king would have been coming out. Okay, a king that would come out of Judah. Why? Here's Leo. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The long-promised king of the Judeans, the Mashiach, he would be the bright and morning star for whom mankind had waited for centuries. When this realization flowed together, in their understanding, the Magi prepared to travel westward to Judea. Certainly, the awesome massing of the planets in August of 2 BC was the final motivation. Guys, did you know that planets do this on our horizons? I didn't know it. Jupiter is going to do this. It doesn't do it very often either.
Like an E.
Like a backwards E. Okay, so here it was. Because ancient astronomers paid particular attention to the planets when in retrograde motion. That's this. When Jupiter did, what's doing this? The king planet. Do I got your attention? Hey! Look over here! My kid's gonna need some money. And he said, which is when they appear to change direction. The Magi would have carefully noted In Jupiter, in 2 BC, Jupiter went into retrograde motion on November 29, 3 BC, and on March 29, 2 BC. When these motions were followed by a continued significant configuration, such as the Jupiter, Venus, and Venus is called the bright morning star, conjunction in June of 2 BC, and the massing of the planets in August 2 BC, it is understandable that the Magi would conclude that certainly the astronomical message that was being given, prompted by the overwhelming evidence, and then it goes in talking about, guess what else? Other constellation is involved here with Leo, Virgo. The heart of the lion and Jupiter are coming out of Virgo.
Strange.
What's going on here? A king is being born. And so they would have saw all these things coming together. About 2 years later, they showed up. What had the Magi been studying? The word. Today, if we go to Christians and we say, when was Jesus Christ born? They would have missed it too. December 25th. You would say, what does the word say? I have no idea. But everybody knows. And Jesus Christ time, they didn't study the word. They studied the oral traditions. They missed them. But it was neat. But here is Jesus, Yahweh, through the Magi. You see, even the carrying away into Babylon, he helped preserve his son. And to finance when his son's exile to North Africa, but he paid for it. Here's what's another really neat thing about what E.W. Bollinger says. Okay, this is not a trick question. What did the Magi look like? Would somebody just give me a description? An adult.
Black.
Clothing.
Dresses.
Oh. Sandals.
Where in the scriptures does it say that they are Gentiles?
Doesn't. They were Persian. I thought they were Persian.
Where does it say that they weren't Jews? Did you know that in the book of Daniel was written? Do you know that there was a prophet named Jeremiah living in where was he living? Judah? Or I forget where it was. Jerusalem? Was Daniel a Jew? Where was he living? Iraq? Mm-hmm. Who's to say that the Magi weren't Jews? Would it make more sense if there were Jews living in Iraq that were still studying Yahweh's word, that were not polluted with Jerusalem? Jerusalem, you who slew the prophets? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't say that, but would that make a lot more sense?
Yeah.
How many Jews from Iraq would have come? And we're thinking about Persia. So here's even Esther. These guys were in Persia. I think that's Iran. Mm-hmm. Here's Jews over here. There's Jews everywhere. I used to always think, no, the Jews are in Israel. No, not necessarily. And actually, the Jews that were there were not good. Herod was not a good guy. Mm-hmm. So as far as we know, it could have been Jews that were sent with all this stuff. And they could have been studying this, and they're going to go, okay, well, they have the written word. But it's just food for thought. But what did the Magi see? They saw Regulus and the king planet, and it showed Virgo was giving birth to Leo, and here's all the rest of these things. Here's the king. So that's actually what they saw. And then, actually, if you want to find out when the day was born, which was neat, if you go back to when was Jesus Christ born, if you go to the Google and stuff, they'll say the book of Revelation chapter 12. Well, why in the world would Yahweh tell us about the book of Revelation chapter 12 about the birth of his son? It's just another little hint. It's another counter. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you guys really want to know when he was born, you have to go to the book of Revelation. That's the end of the book! And he's going to talk about here's this, and that's how we get it. But man, isn't that neat? Okay, we'll go ahead and hear from our father. Which one of you kids would like to have a closing word? That's all right. Mom, why don't you do it?
Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this.
Be ready and be excited. And make yourself excited. Force yourself to put on joy. Force yourself to make smiles. And force yourself to dance for joy. For when you do these things, you make ready for places for me to bless you. It is when you walk out in faith and do these things that you give me room to shower you with joy and blessings. For I am waiting upon you. You feel like you're waiting on me, but I'm waiting for you to move. I'm waiting for you to produce these things. And as you produce this joy, I can fill the room. As you produce this happiness, I can come in. Though you feel alone and you feel in shallow places and dark places, it is me who's looking for you to open up spaces. And as you give me a little bitty room, I'll take over all the room. I will shower you with light and joy. I'll transform your life and all those that are around you. And people will look at you and wonder, how did you get this? And then you will be able to inspire them that I am waiting on them. And you'll tell them, choose to produce joy. And as you do so, they'll transform their lives and their loved ones.